I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know the feelings going on with you about the fact that here we are on the 23rd of December in 2018. And I'd imagine that even in amongst this group of people here, there'd be a whole range of thoughts and emotions going on. For some of us, it'll be a sense of excitement that Christmas is here. For some of us, it'll be a sense of relief that this year is over. For some of us, it'll be a sense of nervousness and anxiety as we think about these next couple of weeks and the relationships potentially that have tension in them that will be confronted and experienced. Some of us will be anxious about the sense of loneliness that we know is on the horizon at this time of year. And for some of us, it's just about a mission. I've got this list of things that I'm going to cram in no matter what, and it's a mission to make sure those things fit within the time frame that we have. You know, we make a whole bunch of effort, don't we, about fitting stuff in. Often it's about making up for cutting corners or letting things go this year. You know, we might be trying to make up with time of relaxing because we've overworked ourselves throughout the year. We might, you know, be trying to make up time with people because we know we've shut people out this year. And we make all these kind of commitments and expectations upon ourselves, don't we, this time of year? And we can cram so much into these 31 days of December. And, you know, December is holidays, it's Christmas, and with Christmas it's all about it come with it, with all the hows and the how to nots and all the with who's and with who with not. People we spend it with, people we don't spend it with, and all the expectations around that. It's the end of the year. It's often a time of transition, of the winding up of one season and the beginning of another. And it's all of this, and it's so much more. And we have all these expectations which often go unmet. And when we think about it, we try and make Christmas bigger and better, a peak time of the year. But when we think about it, because of where we live and the context we find ourselves in, we can have anything, we can have everything at any time. We don't have to wait till Christmas to buy something, to eat something, to share a moment with family and friends. And so we kind of do all that throughout the year, and then we get to December and we're like, oh, this has got to be bigger and better than all that. So now we've got to try and ramp it up even more. We've got to eat more. We've got to spend more time with people. We've got to buy more than we already have because it's got to be bigger and better because that's just, you know, that's the expectation. And sometimes, you know, when we think about that, sometimes it just gets too loud, too crowded, and too much. And some people might say, well, that's how it is. That's how the silly season is. That's just what it's like. That's what it's all about. Is it? Is it? Is it the madness and the hectic rushing and over-consuming and the anxiety of confronting our loneliness or relational tensions? Or the mounting credit card bills, or the uncertainty of the future, or the expectation that people just forget how to drive at this time of year? Is that what it's all about? Is it just all that? You know, over the last three Sundays and as well as this morning, we're journeying through a sermon series called God With Us. And each week we have been reminding ourselves of this verse from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, the Christmas message of hope, love, joy, and peace can be summed up. This whole season can be summed up with those three words, God with us. The message of Christmas is, he's here. He's here. We're coming to the end of the Advent season. Advent is a four-week season in the church calendar, usually beginning on the last Sunday of November and ending on Christmas Eve. And Advent is a time to anticipate and prepare, but it's not just about getting ready for Christmas. The word itself comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. But the coming that we celebrate during Advent isn't just Jesus' first arrival as a baby in Bethlehem. Advent is also the time for us to focus on Jesus' second coming. In this season of Advent, we celebrate God with us, the revelation of God in Christ, through whom all creation might be reconciled to God. The first advent of Christ inaugurated that reconciliation, and that's a process that we now participate in. And the second advent signals its consummation, its fulfillment, which is something that we anticipate. And this God with Us series we've been in throughout Advent has reminded us of the difference that this first advent of Christ has. And it stirs our yearning for the consummation of the current age, for the future cosmic renewal of all things. And this morning, as we kind of wrap up this Advent series, I want to take a bit of a long run-up closing out this series. And I want to try and recap, cover the ground that we already have, revisit some of that stuff, and then close out this series. And as a way of recapping and doing that, I want to show a short clip, which we showed at the very beginning of this series, introducing this God with Us series. And then after the video, I'm going to share a quote from kind of each week. So we're going to watch this as we think about this series we've been in, God with Us.
On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded street, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
So here's a recap of some of the quotes, the things, the ideas that we've been looking at throughout this week. So the first week we looked at God with us in the valleys. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. God is with us in the valleys. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. God is with us in the desert. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. God is with us in the storm. God is with us. He's with us. Always. Not just in those moments, not just for the time during his earthly ministry, always. He is with us always. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus promises that he will never leave or forsake us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always with you. His spirit dwells inside of you. When you are lost, he is with you as your guide. When you are alone, he is with you as your companion. When you are hurting, He is with you as your comforter. When you are afraid, He is with you as your peace. When you are sick, He is with you as your healer. When you are weak, He is with you as your strength. And when you are dead and lost in your sins, He is with you as your Savior. Jesus is Emmanuel, who came to save people, God with us. The message of Christmas. But this is, when we think about it, this is actually a radical alternative story. This is an alternative story of Christmas. And to introduce that to you, for us to think about, I've got another video to share with you. And it's by a poet and spoken word artist by the name of Will Small. And this particular video has been produced and made available through Crossover Ministries, which is an Australian Baptist-based ministry to equip and encourage Baptist churches to share Jesus wherever they are. So we're going to watch this as we think about Christmas as an alternative story.
So there is this story where December arrives, full of calendar clashes and overtime clocking, car park chaos and late night shopping, TV specials and empty stockings, feeling empty at times, we feel empty. But there is this other story, whispered at this time of year. It's the one we must unwrap, wading through ribbon and tinsel. Amongst extravagant productions, it hides in the spirit. And there is this girl. There is this promise. And in the depths of her being, something is growing. But I was lost in the other story. I was eating its pages. I was scrolling its news feeds. I was singing its praises. When a voice called out the child in me, and my feet decided to take a walk under starlight. I lost sight of the stars for so long, seen only dark night. But as I stumbled under their glow, I felt my heart expanding. I walked past billboards and bright lights and gift-wrapped mansions. I felt like I was on my way to see the powers confronted, the system come crumbling. There would be a new crown, a new throne, a new campaign title. The news feed would be hijacked, the social media would go viral. There would be fairy lights, red carpets, operatic recitals. And I found myself here, with a vulnerable baby, the smell of birth and a cow trough, in a forgotten shadow of the world. The king who drips planets from the tip of his tongue, knit into flesh, held by teenage mum. And this is how ordinary it was. This is how magnificent it was. Jesus, Emmanuel, means God with us. Two stories, but really one story. We have eyes to see it. That story breaks into our own. The wonder, the awe, the baby, the star, in the concrete, the flat, the office, the chaos, calling us to become like Him who became like us. Ordinary magnificence, glory in the dust. So what will you do with this story? What will you do with this baby? What will you do with the ordinary magnificence this Christmas?
God with us, this radical alternative message. He's here. He's here. It's radical because it changes everything. It's radical because our life experience may often say He's not here. He's not here. He's shouted through the brokenness of our world and whispered in those lonely, painful nights of self-doubt and self-hate. Despite that, we say at Christmas, He's here. Sometimes through gritted teeth, sometimes with the little breath that we have left, He's here. God is with us. And as we've seen over the last number of weeks with this series, it's a beautiful, life-giving truth. God with us. He came to us in this baby that was born, in the vulnerability and in the ordinary, to rescue the world. You know, there are many men, and it often is men, who want to be God. But it is the one true God who became a man to rescue the world, to do what no human could do on their own. It was from inside the human condition that God provided the means for its redemption. This was no kind of external patch. This was a rebirth. I follow this devotional Instagram account called Pocket Fuel, and I came across this quote just this week that I wanted to share in this thought process. And that is that the incarnation, I believe, is the greatest act of love God has bestowed upon us. Jesus' body and breath and life are a declaration of how much God loves humanity. Jesus shows us that it is good to be human. And within the Christmas message of God with us, there is this bold, clear statement of value on each of us and all of us. You see, because God could have shouted His love from heaven, but instead He showed it to us on earth. So my question is, what will you do with this story? What will you do with this baby? What will you do with this ordinary magnificence? Will you give it some lip service but carry on in the overwhelming madness of Christmas? Will you put it off for another time or put it in a box to pull out at a time of crisis or questions? What will you do when our world and your circumstances seem to communicate that He's not here? That He's not with us. Will you embrace the gift of Emmanuel? Will you return to this story once again and say, God with us? You know, for those of us who have received the greatest gift already given in Jesus, this time of year there are two key practices that can flesh out this alternative story to the silly season that December of the December rituals. And I mentioned this earlier, and I want to come back to it now, that in this season of Advent we celebrate God with us, the revelation of God in Christ, through whom all of creation might be reconciled to God. That the first Advent inaugurates this reconciliation, a process in which we now participate. And the second Advent signals its fulfillment, something that we anticipate. Participation and anticipation are the key practices of Advent, the key practices that can tell a different story to the madness of December. Participation in the first Advent. Advent should be a season where we're invited to heighten our participation in the first Advent, to heighten our participation in that reconciling work of Christ in the world. Actually, in fact, the earliest references throughout church history of Advent appear in the 4th and 5th centuries. where it's seen as a season of preparation for baptism of new Christians. The Feast of Epiphany, which occurs on the 6th of January, became the traditional day for baptisms in the church in the church year. So Christians would spend 40 days of penance, prayer and fasting to prepare for this this celebration. Actually, originally there was very little connection between Advent and Christmas. Advent was a time for new Christians to embrace their faith publicly and for other Christians to repent and renew their commitment. Now, I think, you know, good luck trying to get anyone, even Christians these days, to spend the lead up to Christmas as a time of fasting and penance. We desperately need our faith to be an alternative to the excess and commercialization of this season. So it ought to be a time where our participation in that reconciling work is heightened, that we seek out more and more about where God is at work around us. Where can there be a word of hope and peace? Where can there be an advocacy for justice and reconciliation? Where can there be a helping hand? Where can there be selfless acts of love? That ought to be our participation in this season of Advent, as we participate in that first Advent. The kingdom of God is here, and we get to live that kingdom life now. I mean, wouldn't that tell an alternative story to the madness of December? And the second practice of anticipation, anticipating the second Advent. Now, this is something that we often miss or just kind of gloss over. But as we are drawn, as we retell these ancient stories of expecting of the Messiah, as we're drawn into that ancient expectancy, our desire for his return is refreshed. And as we think about the year that has been and all the great stuff that has happened, often in amongst all that are challenges and brokenness in our world and hurt and pain in our lives, and we are drawn again to desire the end of that. The desire for Jesus to return to bring about that new day. We're not only at Christmas, we're not only saying that he's here, but at the same time, we're saying he's coming back. As I said, it doesn't take long to think about our lives and our world to realize that there is brokenness in both our world and our lives. There's a whole lot of wrong in us and around us. But God loves his children too much to let that brokenness be the end of the story. And, you know, since forever, God has had a plan to make the wrong right, even though he knew he would suffer. Because, you know, God loves us with a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And this saving that Jesus provides is his identity, and it's his purpose. It's identity, his identity as God, as the only one who could do that, and it's his purpose. So he was sent to save. And I mean, that is why Christmas is such a celebration. Jesus came to save each and every one of us from the brokenness in us and around us. And this saving, this renewing of all things that we participate in will one day be finished. Not when we work hard enough at it, not when we crack the code of the clever ideas of how to actually do it properly, but when Jesus returns as he has promised to. You know, just this past week, our eldest son, Emmerich, finished preschool. His last day was on Wednesday, and after they were asleep, after I'd read some books and they were asleep on Wednesday night, I was just sitting there in their room, and I was kind of like a bit upset that this was the end of preschool. I mean, we've seen Emmerich flourish there at preschool, and the friends that he's made, and the connections and friendships that we have made. And it's like, oh, that's over. It's all done. But then when I was thinking about it, well, I was like, well, hang on, no, that's the purpose of preschool is to prepare children for school. And so what I was mourning was that preschool had fulfilled its purpose. It had actually prepared him for the next journey into school. You know, they've done that job marvelously, and preschool has fulfilled its purpose. And so that should be something to celebrate, not be sad about. And it's in the same way with the incarnation, where God with us, God coming to be with us as one of us. The purpose of that is the renewing of all things. And the renewing of all things was initiated through Christ, and it will be completed upon his return. And so for all the wonderful parts and things that we've explored over this series, the wonderful ways that we can embrace God being with us, for all the great things that we can do now as part of God's reconciling work around us, we must not lose focus of its purpose, lest we hold too tightly to this life, lest we think this is it, this is all there is. May we know this Christmas, and may we share that he's here. God is with us. I want to wrap up this morning with a prayer, a Christmas prayer for us as we think about embracing this alternative story of God with us, as we participate in the first advent, as we anticipate the second. Let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we desire our hearts to be filled with gratitude and joy at this time. Light of life, you came in flesh, born humbly into the darkness of human night, born into human pain and joy. We recognize that help has come in helpless form. God of glory, open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, so that we, like him, may become beacons of your justice and defenders of all for whom there is no room. Grant us faith, O Christ, to see your presence among us, so that all of creation may sing new songs of gladness and walk in the ways of peace. Lord Jesus, like the Magi of old, we come to worship you. Like the shepherds, we come to see you. Like Mary, we ponder these things in our hearts, that you, God, would become a baby born in poverty, that you would come to rescue us from darkness, come to bring healing to the hurting, to bring justice to the downtrodden, and to reconcile all things to you. At this Christmas, our prayer is for the hurting, the lonely, the physically sick, and those who are sick deep in their souls. We pray that on this day, in this season, when we celebrate your birth, that those of us and those we know who are hurting will be enthralled anew by your scandalous love. That love that has pursued us so far that you emptied yourself and became one of us. For unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, Emmanuel, God with us. He will reign forevermore. He is heaven's son, the Saviour of the world.